one of the things that my husband and I had deceived ourselves about is that the money was worth it, because he didn't make a whole lot of money. We felt that double time and triple time was worth it, because we had a young family to support. And he is now dying because of an injury he received on the job. So all the time that he spent away from our kids because he had to support them, because someday we were going to have that relationship, we were going to have the time, someday we'll get closer, and now not only are we not going to get closer, but time is the precious thing. So don't deceive yourself the way that we had.
We'll be praying for you. What a precious story. Thank you for reminding us that life is short, priorities need to remain as priorities, and that when we talk about work and marriage and family, sometimes there really is no balance. We're so far out of balance. In fact, it was Stuart Friedman that made the statement, a balanced life is folly. There are times where, like you're going through right now, there's nothing more important than staying focused on that relationship, not putting off to tomorrow things that you need to do today for your marriage and your family. And there's other times in life, frankly, where there's something at work that's a priority that needs to get done. So I think what we want to talk about here today at Intentional Living is, do you wrestle with being a workaholic? Has work become a sort of an escape for you in your life? Love to have you come and join us. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and our comment line is open to you live right now at 888-888-1717. Love to hear you discuss that a little bit. Do you wrestle with this thing of being out of balance, way out of balance when it comes to your work life and your family life? Come and join us. As far as on air, we've got calls already to go from an archived program, and we'll be getting to those in just a little bit. So we're talking about work, we're talking about marriage, we're talking about the things that matter most, and now with work often being done in the basement or in a home side office, maybe your work is right there, and that even creates some new dynamics that you want to talk about as we try to strike, well, a balance, which sometimes is hard to do, but at least being on the same page with your spouse and your family, and as our caller said at the beginning, making sure you know what's most important in your life and keeping that as a priority. So again, to our comment line, 888-888-1717 is the number. I'd love to have you join us and sharing your comments as we begin this brand new month together, this month of August, here at Intentional Living.
Here's Intentional Living Workplace Coach Linda Swindling with some important thoughts about being a workaholic.
You know, there's a lot of books and a lot of articles about work well, do more with less. How about this? Work a little less. Some of us are workaholics. We get so much satisfaction with the job we do, or at least we know what the rules are to succeed, that we have a hard time leaving work. That's too bad. There's a lot of reasons why you shouldn't just work. One is, you're not very interesting. If you don't have anything outside of your work life, you're not as creative. People won't look to you for guidance in other areas, and they might not even consider you for promotions because all you do is work at your desk or work out at the field. Another thing, try thinking about how you prioritize. You know, if you're not prioritizing, you're working all the time. But if you are prioritizing well and delegating well, you'll find you have more time. Another big reason why not to work too much, you're letting your family down. You have a community, a family, a friends, a church home. You need to go and participate there as well. There's very few people in the world that die saying, "Wow, I wish I had worked more." So many others say, "I really miss seeing my kids grow up or participating or staying in touch with my friends." So yeah, this work expert's telling you to kind of slow down a little bit sometimes. Leave the office when you can. And go have a life. Work as hard at your relationships, your friendships, your family, as you do at work. I'm Linda Swindling.
All right. Thank you for the admonition there, Linda, today. 888-888-1717, talking about being a workaholic, the impact it can have on your life, your health, certainly on your family, your faith, just, you know, just on what's important to you. Phil's on the line, California. Hi, Phil.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today on this topic?
Well, I guess it would be, how do you get over workaholic?
Well, what has it done to you?
Well, I'm an over the road truck driver, and I've been driving for over 10 years now, and I've just seen where it has really taken precedence in my life, and it was about a couple of years ago that I had to go to Dallas, Texas to pick up a load and bring it back to California. I had been on the road for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I was been wanting to get home to my family. So after I picked up in Dallas, Texas, I drove. I made it back from Dallas, Texas, and made it back to Riverside, California in 2.5 days. I was driving like 11 hours a day. And by the time I got home, I was wore out. Basically, I got sick when I got home. I had pushed myself so much, driven so much, that by the time I got home, I just spent the next 2 days in bed. I was sick. Mm.
What does this cost you, though, Phil? I mean, it sounds like you're dedicated to what you do, but you overdo it. What does it cost you in your personal life, spiritual life, whatever?
My spiritual life right now is a derailment. My personal walk with Jesus is not there. Mm. It has cost me, basically right now, it has cost me my family, too. Mm.
Wow. You mean, are you separated from your wife or divorced? Or?
Yes, yeah. Separated.
And it's due to this kind of schedule, basically?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Phil, what do you want? I mean, what? Let me ask you, what do you want different in your life? What's the one thing, if you could say, hey, this is the one thing I want different in my life, what would it be?
I wish I could have everything that I want.
Mm-hmm. That's what puts you in the ditch.
Yes. I mean, I love driving. It's passionate. It's in my heart. It's deeply rooted in my heart. I love driving.
Mm-hmm. But your wife says, hey, you're not here, and it's caught up with, from her perspective, and it sounds like you know it's out of balance as far as the amount of driving you may be doing or whatever.
Yeah. Well, she has made the statement to me one time, seems like you're married to the truck and not her.
Mm.
And
ouch.
That really hit my heart.
Is it true?
It's true.
Okay, all right. So she's just pointing out what's true. And you know, Phil, this discussion ultimately is going to come around to, and by the way, God bless you for calling. I think it takes courage to call and just admit it. When you get to a place in life where you just say, hey, it's true, you know, I'm married to my truck instead of my wife. I mean, that's an honest statement. Then the question is, what do you want? And some guys would say, well, I'm going to be married to my truck and I'm gone. That's it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this truck, or my job, or whatever it is, your hobby, or whatever it is that you get so involved in. The reality is we can't, quote, have it all. That's a misnomer. We get sold a bill of goods on we can do everything. You know, we can build businesses and we can have families. Now, yes, there's people who can do these things, but they have to manage it very carefully. They have to put limits on their schedule because they only have so many hours in a day, and they keep their priorities straight. And again, intentional living is figuring out what our purpose is and what is our purpose for being here, to glorify God. I believe that begins in our personal life and then with our family. And then we have to decide to live our lives in accordance with that. And I think in your case, Phil, you're going to have to make a decision to say, hey, if my number one priority is to have my family, have a good marriage and honor God, then I think you need to sit down with someone to help you put together a goal, a plan, a process to get there that may very likely include continuing to drive. But putting some, you know, perspective, some accountability, getting your batteries recharged spiritually and otherwise, because if you continue to do this, you're not happy now.
I'm not.
Phil. You're in the ditch. And probably when you get in the ditch, you get back on the road and you feel good. You feel good for a while because you're doing what you love. But you know, when you pull the truck off the highway and you start thinking about it, or driving down the highway and thinking about it, you realize the big thing in your life, your wife, your kids, your family, your walk with Christ, that's not being filled with your love affair with that truck.
Right.
So what do you do?
In one sense, I want to say, what can I do? Because truck driving is the only profession that I know. This is the only way I know to provide for my family.
All right. Well, let me stop there. We've got truck drivers listening right now who will call in and say, hey, I drive a truck and I got a great family. I've got great relationships. I've learned to manage it. Maybe I move from my schedule being always long haul and gone all the time. Some guys and women have said, hey, I've rescheduled it to be on short hauls, so I'm home more often. You know, changing my priorities, building a business plan that allows me to do what I love doing, but also love that which has been given to me, my family and my other priorities. So, you know, Phil, you said it. I think you said it earlier. I want it all. I want it all. And I think we got to get to a place where we say we can't have it all. We got to decide what God has for us, what makes us uniquely different, and then sometimes get some outside help to put a plan, a process together so we're being faithful to that which God has given us. Because I don't believe you have to give up driving a truck to keep your marriage together. I do believe that you got to change your mind from I'm having an affair with my truck to I love my wife and my family and my relationship with Christ, and my driving is secondary. It brings me joy, but it's going to be secondary. And to that extent, I think that is what it means to be intentional. Hang on, I'm going to have Sally just catch your name there so we can get you on the prayer list and be praying for you. My recommendation directly is that you and your wife, hopefully the two of you are not over the edge and not being able to rebuild your marriage, but to be able to say, hey, you can look her in the eye and say, you know what, you're right. I've had an affair with a truck and I'm done with it. And just like if you had an affair with another person, I'm done with it. And I choose to commit to my marriage. I choose to do what honors God and whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And that you and your spouse would find freedom. And you know what? Then when you get in the truck, you're going to really enjoy it. It could be short haul, could be long haul, but I'll tell you what, until you make that your priority and make that your intentional decision, nothing good's going to happen.
Hi, this is Denise in Phoenix, Arizona. I had a 60 to 70 hour a week job that was overwhelming me. I couldn't keep up with the house. I couldn't keep up with paying the bills on time just because I was so overworked. A blessing in disguise. I was laid off. The good thing is I'm able to take care of my house. I'm able to take care of the bills, and our finances are no longer out of control because now I can take the time and get back to basics and actually spend time every day in the Word. So thank you for your program.
Well, you're welcome. We're glad to be here. Talking about workaholism or being a workaholic and what it does. And you just heard the call. You just heard what it did to Phil. I mean, listen, it's a decision that we make. Kim's on the line in Arizona. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What are you learning about this topic for yourself today?
Ooh, having faith in God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes my husband was working very hard and it was taking away from being a family unit. My husband, we have two children at home and he was gone a lot and he came home so exhausted and tired when he did and it was late and we just didn't have a life. And even though I was home, I was not, you know, I wasn't able to really work, and I had worked before part-time. I'm a nurse by trade. And it just, it was hard because we have a great relationship, my husband and I, and with the family too. And we had to put our trust in God, and it took a while for God to really show us.
Did it come to a head? Did it come to a head, Kim? I mean, were you upset or something?
It did. I guess my husband kept thinking it was going to get better. I kept thinking because it would, with his boss, it was just like back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
He was working for someone that was a little bipolar, and we would pray about it, and then it would be good for a while, and then he would be on the road, or just, it would just be mentally exhausting for him. Physically exhausting, and you could tell it was really getting to him.
Yeah.
And he was doing it for me. He was doing it for his family, but he realized, you know what, all this is not worth it.
Yeah, in fact, Kim, let me jump in. I think there are many men in particular, women too, but men who feel that, like, you know, I'm doing this for the family. I'm doing this to make things better. I'm doing all this.
Right.
And all I get is complaints, and I get, you know, negative feedback, and I'm not here, and I'm not doing enough at home. And it puts guys sometimes, and women too, into a feeling like they can't do anything right. And then, of course, that's a downward spiral. But in your case, it sounds like the two of you came to an agreement. Hey, this ain't the way we want to live. We want to get intentional with our lives. So what'd you do?
Well, we became very serious about it. It was even hard for him to really look because he was afraid. He was a vice president of a company. He was that high, and he was afraid that if he started really looking seriously, then they would find out and let him go. And then what would happen? We would have nothing, you know, income. But so we prayed about it that morning at church. We went to church. For some reason, there was someone knew that the pastor, another person that was speaking, and he just hit home with what he was talking about, fear, and having fear of really that God is going to take care of us. You know, going out on a limb, sometimes we have to jump where God says, okay, jump, and I will catch you. Because we didn't have a net of anybody working in the household. Usually it was me, if so. And so it was very emotional at that moment when I realized, I mean, it was very emotional when I realized God was talking to me that we needed to really have the faith that God was showing us. And so we came home and we talked, and we both said, you know what, this is what we're going to do. And he was going to go to his boss that day, matter of fact, and say, you know, I can't work anymore, and, you know, just for my family and purposes. And we were thinking that, you know what, he was probably going to fire us, honestly, because he had done that before. And it was right before Christmas, and so much going on in our lives. And you know, God took care of it, because when he talked to him, for some reason, he was just really nice about it. And he said, well, how about just working to the end of the year at least? And so it gave him time for him to find a job. And of course, we just recently moved, and we had lived where we live in Arizona. We had lived there before, and then he got this job and went out back to the South, and then we just happened to come back where family is.
How is it different today for you? How is it different today?
I'm sorry?
How is it better for you?
My husband is so much happier. He's so relaxed. We have just a wonderful time together. I mean, just him and I, and him and the kids. He's happier. I mean, yes, he dropped quite a bit of his salary,
right.
But you know what? It's not, money's not worth it. And I think that's what we both realized too, even more so, which we know that money's not everything. It's not going to answer all of our, you know, problems and things. So it was just wonderful. It was just so just relaxed.
And here's the
wonderful
cool
to relax in God's faith, you know.
And by the way, I appreciate your call, Kim. Here's the cool thing you guys did. You could still be stuck in this frustration and anger and fatigue and stress, but you just, you know, laid it on the table, talked about it. And I think that's a mature thing to do, and I applaud that. It's something we all have to do sometimes, just sit down and be honest about where we are, what's going on, and what the stress is doing to us. We want to honor Christ, but trying to maintain balance, while it's a good objective, sometimes isn't reality.
Hi, I'm a young mother of two, and I just started working full-time, and I'm teaching, and it's unfortunately my first year, and it requires long, long hours, and I'm trying to figure out how to balance my family life, my work life, and of course my relationship with God. What can I do in order to ensure that my children and my family were following God's path, even though I'm away from them more than I should be? If you could just address that sometime, I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You know, I just want to say to those of you, maybe a single mom or dad, and you find yourself working hours that I'm just working too much, but I got to do this, take care of the family. I think there's two really important things that you have to look at. One is making sure that whatever you're doing, that you're satisfied in your own life, that that is your priority. You got to do that. In other words, from a financial standpoint, especially with what's going on in our economy today with the inflation and the cost of things and supply chain and uncertainty of the economy and so on.
Well, I certainly understand for some of you, you've got to put those extra hours in. Just make sure you're clear that you've got the budget and you're managing it and you understand what that all means in terms of what has to get done. If that means changing a job maybe for more money or whatever, that you've worked that through. But secondly, and I think this is the most important point, as a parent, you're taking care of your family. Don't allow Satan to use whatever you're going through in that work balance issue that you're struggling with to create guilt in your life so you either underreact or overreact to your kids. You try to be a Disneyland parent thinking you can make up for that absence by, you know, buying things or doing things and so on. Just be a godly parent. Be there for them. Be involved in their life as much as you can. Share your life with them. Let them see your life. Let them see what you're doing, who you are, and how you're loving them by caring for them. This is what your kids are going to remember later on. It's not the things that you buy or the places you take them. So having a budget you can live with and work with, and then making it the priority not to allow guilt to run your life. When you do that, I think that's really an important thing about being an intentional parent, especially if you're a single mom or dad. A goal without an intention can create fatigue, because what happens is we have these goals, and these goals can change, but they're not tied to something that's internal and powerful and personal and from God, and that can be very tiring in our life, jumping from one thing to another. At the same time, an intention without a goal is simply a good idea. The power of living intentionally is when we have God's intention in our life, and then we put together goals that move us toward accomplishing those intentions from day to day. You know, that's an excerpt from the content this month in my lesson for members in this month of August on what I'm calling Intentional Living 101. We talk about intentional living every day, as you know, and I wanted to create a teaching this month that really takes us back like a 101 class. What are the basics of intentional living? What does the word intention really mean? How does that relate to setting goals and then following through? What happens with procrastination in our life, or being distracted, or hopping in many different directions? How do we balance all of this, and what does intentional living really mean? And that's the lesson this month, one that I hope that you'll share with your family, a great opportunity to talk about this around the table with your kids or grandkids, and we'll be sending it out to you later in the month, both video and audio. So again, this is the course, what we call Intentional Living 101 for our members. It'll be coming to you automatically. Thank you, members, for your monthly support. Thank you for standing with us in this new year. We appreciate it. And if you join us today in monthly support for the ministry, listener-supported ministry of Intentional Living, I'll make sure that you start receiving the teaching, both audio and video, every month. Just come and join us. Come on over to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate button, and I want to invite you today to become a part of the Intentional Living community.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it, my friend. Hey, listen, we got truck drivers calling. I think we tapped into the truck driver channel here. Wanted to relate to Phil, who said, hey, I'm stuck. I'm in the ditch, as it were. My marriage is about over. My spiritual life is over, and I'm a workaholic, and I love what I do. And let's see if we have time to get Brad on here from Missouri first. Hello, Brad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You driving? Are you driving today?
No, well, I'm at work. No, I'm not a over-the-road driver anymore. I got me a local job.
All right, so was that because what was going on in your marriage?
Yeah, me and my first wife, we got married at a young age, and I decided to go get a job as a trucker and fell in love with it. It was new, exciting. You know, and I wanted to be out all the time. The money was good. And I became pretty much like Phil. I was married to my truck. Hmm. And just being married at so young, you know, it was great. We were both in love. But as we had we started growing apart, and I loved my kids with all my heart. I still do.
Again,
we were bickering and fighting all the time, and, you know, she left while I was on the road. She took the kids, left me a note saying she was gone. Don't bother trying to find her. She'd find me if she ever wanted to see me again.
Wow.
And, you know, fortunately, she did let the kids keep in touch, although they couldn't tell me where they were. And it was unfortunate, but I am reunited with my kids, and we're great together. I don't see them, of course, as much as I'd like to. You know, but that ended badly, ended in a divorce. I did spend about 4 or 5 years alone. And even though I was going to church, listening to church on TV, I still felt something missing. So I ran into a girl and started dating. We fell in love, married to her. And it seemed like I was getting into that same rut where I wanted to be out more than home.
Mm.
And I started praying a lot, asking God for guidance. What do I do? Open my eyes, lead the way. It's the only way I'm going to get anywhere. He led me to a local job where I'm home every day, where my wife works. They have made her schedule so we're off the same day so we can spend those days together. And it's awesome. And Phil, your first guest, was talking about a church, you know, kind of falling away. At the truck stops, there are churches set up at different truck stops in this country.
Yeah. Yes.
That he can attend morning service, you know, and I started doing that. Unfortunately, where I'm working now, I have to be working on Sundays. So Saturday nights, I'm off Friday and Saturday. My wife and me will turn on a channel on TV with church service, and we will worship at home.
Brad, I've got to wrap it up. I'm sorry. The computer is just telling me I got to get out of here. I wanted to hear the rest of your story, but I think the essence is, hey, you know, if you fall in love with anything other than what God's priority is, and Phil and Brad, I think, both expressed that. In their case, it was driving. But, you know, it could be your business. It could be your hobbies. It could be, you know, your sense of the next sale or whatever it is. I'll tell you what, eventually that's going to catch up and bite you. What are the priorities? What are you truly married to? I think that's a good question today. Sorry we had to close off so quickly, but time passes. And we'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.